Shavua Tov Mevarach, Erev Shabbat Shalom, and Isru Hag Sameach. Mishnah Yomi continues today in the 7th chapter of Psachim, Mishnah Yud Gimel, Mishnah 13, finishing up chapter 7, Bezrat Hashem starting chapter 8. So we are at Mishnah 13. Shtei Chavurot. There were two groups, Shaya Ochlot, Bavayit Echad. They were eating in the same house. Now, they're eating the same Karban Pesach, but they can choose to split off into two groups. Like you could understand, like a Pesach hotel situation, where they might make one big Karban Pesach, and then each table gets part of that Karban Pesach. They're allowed to do so. However, they don't want people from group A eating the portion from group B. So what do? The Mishnah says, Elu hofchin et paneihem heiloch v'ochlin. So one group turns their heads to one side, meaning away from the other group, and they eat. Elu hofchin et paneihem heiloch v'ochlin. And the other people turn their heads to the other side, and they eat. So if everyone's facing their own table, no concern. Hameicham be'emtza, and the hot water kettle is in the middle. So interestingly, they could use the same hot water kettle, and in this case, the Bartner explains, this was the one they used to dilute the wine. We know back then in Mishnaic times, the wine was very strong. It was customarily mixed with water, and in this case, it was mixed with warm water from a kettle. So they could use the same kettle for both groups. And when the waiter stood up to pour cups, meziga literally means mixing or diluting. So here it means he's pouring their wine. And again, they would mix the wine with some water. So kofitz at piv, he would close up his mouth, umachzir panav, and turn his head towards his own group. Until he reaches his own group and eats. What's going on here is the waiter, they could hire one waiter to serve both groups, or to at least to pour the wine for both groups. Even though he's in group A, he can also pour the wine for group B, as long as he keeps his mouth closed so he doesn't eat any of their Pesach while he's over there pouring the wine for group B. And the Mishnah ends off with a related halacha, Hakala, the bride who's just been married. She's Mazel Tov, they just got married Erev Pesach, and now they're enjoying Pesach Seder with the whole family, Gadza Mishpacha, Hofechet et Paneya Vechelet. She's allowed to turn her face away from people while she eats. Now, the reason she do this is because she's the center of attention. Everyone's looking at her, staring at her, glancing at her from time to time, and she's very self-conscious. So we're sensitive to this fact, and we allow her to sort of turn away from the crowd when she eats so they're not staring at her while she's chewing her Karban Pesach. And again, since, as we said at the beginning of this Mishnah, you're allowed to take one Karban Pesach and eat it in two groups, so even the fact that she's turning away, she's kind of looking like her own separate group, that is still allowed for the purposes of her self-consciousness being a newlywed. Mazel Tov, and on to chapter 8. Ha'isha, a woman, bizman shehi bebeit baila. She's just been married and she's moved into her husband's house. Shochat aleha baila. V'shachat aleha aviha. So her husband slaughters a Karban Pesach with her in mind, with his new bride as part of the group, and her father did the same thing. So which Karban Pesach should she eat from? Tochel Mishel Bala. She should eat from the husband's Karban Pesach. And this is due to a general assumption that the woman is more likely to be eating with her husband and spending Yom Tov with her husband. But we'll see that's not always the case. The Mishnah continues, Halcha regel rishon lasot bevet aviha. What if the newlyweds go for the first holiday after they got married? They go to the in-laws. They go to her parents' house for Yom Tov. But even though they did so, her father's family is bringing a Karban Pesach, and the husband's family is also bringing a Karban Pesach. The husband has his own Karban Pesach. So shachat aleha aviha. So her father slaughtered a Karban Pesach with her in mind, with her as part of the group, for shachat aleha baila. And so did the husband. So now what does she eat from? Tochel b'makom she rotze. She can eat the Karban Pesach she wants to eat from. However, she does need to specify which Karban Pesach she wants to be a part of. If she didn't say anything, then we don't really know if she'd rather be with the husband or rather be with the father, so she'd be stuck without a Karban Pesach. So she has to actually pick which one she wants. The Mishnah continues with a similar situation, Yatom, an orphan, Sheshachtu alav apotropsin, his plural of apotropos. Now, apotropos is a legal guardian or guardian ad litem, or basically the one who stepped up to take care of the orphan. And in this case, the orphan has more than one guardian that can help, you know, to share the burden. So the responsibility is not just on one person. And both of them slaughtered the Karban Pesach with this orphan in mind. Yochab makamju rotze. So he gets to pick where he wants to go, but he can't pick both. Similarly, Eved Shtel Shnei Shutfin. What if there is an Evid Kanani and he has two masters? He works for two different guys. Lo yochel mishal shnehim. He can't eat from both of them. He can eat by one of them, but not by both of them. And how about the case, finally, Misha chetzio evid chetzio ben churin. Someone's half a servant and half a free man. How does this work? So he had two masters he was working for, and one of them set free his half. So now this particular man, he's half an Evid Kanani who's meshuba to work for the master, and he's half a completely free man. So the Mishnah says, lo yochel mishal rabu. He can't eat from the Korban Pesach that belongs to the one who's still, the guy he still works for, because lemaisa, that guy had only the half avdus in mind, not the free half in mind. So if I recall correctly, in the Gemara, they say he could, at least they imply, he could bring his own Korban Pesach, because actually the legal status of someone who's a chatzi avid chatzi ben chorin was a debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And Beit Hillel said, listen, this guy's stuck, because he can't marry a Shivcha Kananit, he can't marry a Bat Yisrael, he's stuck, so we force the second master to free his second half. So now he's entirely free, and he can, Baruch Hashem, marry a normal Jewish girl, and then he'll pay off the debt later. He'll pay off what he'll pay off, but we force the second guy to free his leftover half. And since that's the case, even though this guy's half Evid still, he's going to be entirely freed. It's just a matter of going through the paperwork. So we would allow him, it seems, to bring his own Korban Pesach. And it's a Peletic thing to discuss the day after Pesach, that yes, Jews had Evid Kanani, and it wasn't at all the same thing that they had in the United States in the South before the Civil War. It was a kinder and gentler form of servitude, but it was still a servitude. So it could be, there are some of Farshim should suggest, that only Am Yisrael, having just left Shibud Mitzrayim, they just left slavery in Egypt, they would have the sensitivity to respect human dignity, even though Lemaisa, they've hired someone, basically bought the right to his labor to work for them as an Evid in servitude. But that even so, they could still respect his inherent human dignity, having, as Am Yisrael had just gone through slavery. It's interesting, the first mitzvah we have in Mishpatim is about the Evid, though it's Evid Ivri in that case. So it's really an interesting kind of clash of values. Tzorech Iyon, we don't have time for it now, so God willing, you get into it. Shabbat Shalom and Tizkulim Mitzvot.